things and budget and do all the kinds of things. If y'all think I got some stuff now, you ought to wait, go in there look. I brought a big old rattlesnake head. I got it from the Wallapai Indian Village, Western Rim. So, and immediately when I got it, I thought of Sister Roden. Too bad she wasn't here to show it to her. She would have loved my rattlesnake head. It's even got venom dripping from the back. And it's crazy glue, but it's venom. Needless to say. But nevertheless, there's so much that occupies our time just living, serving, or serving God, yes, but just surviving, rather. It just literally bombards us in life and health and everything else. But it's an age and time that we live in. And so I talked with different preachers and different pastors and several, Brother Weeks included, Brother Harrelson included. All of these men said they met more people without this Memorial Day than they ever had in the history of pastoring their church. That was not just leaven, because at first people were just far out of me. First, third, 3-day holiday, and I thought, good God Almighty, he was going crazy. Lord help me. Jesus, why is all these people, I always wanted to sing, why is all these people always picking on me? And I talked to Brother Weeks, he said, my God, these people, I didn't have nobody at church. And I said, really? You too? I'm so happy. Brother Harrelson said he thought his people had gone nuts. They wasn't out. Almost the whole church was gone. He said he'd never had that many people out in the history of pastoring his church. He said he had never had that many people out in one church. And I talked to different ones, and it was that way all the way around. So I felt better about us. I loved you a lot more than, well, not that I stopped loving you any less. But the point is this. You're going to have to, it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be a mindset, a mentality. You're going to have to love it. You're going to have to do it with everything in you. And you're going to have to love it with everything in you. And it is going to have to be a mindset, a mentality that I get to. It is an opportunity, a blessing, a privilege. I am blessed to be able to come to church to serve God. Not the fact that, man, I'm forced to do it, or my God, I only get 3 days and he's trying. No, I want you to have family time, me time. But when it's time to come to church, it's time to come to church. When it's time to have church, it's time to get in here and have church. Amen. So when we are here, let's take advantage of the time that we have. And so tonight, in kind of going along those veins, I'm varying a little bit from what we have been doing lately as far as Bible study. And I just want to teach the Word for a little bit and just kind of feed upon the Word. It may not be big and fancy. It may not be time to get up, and here we preach the other day, time to get up and go on, and then we preach 2 or 3 late, but man, they just move barn burners and fill the altar, and tonight may be a little slow down, a little Bible study, just a little bit of old taste and see that the Lord is good, but we're going to feast upon the Word, and I have a lot of scriptures lined out, a lot of meat and taters today, amen, but I'll find out it's the meat and tater meals that stick with you. It's them burritos that move on real fast. Amen. It's them enchiladas that don't stick around a while. I want this one stick on your ribs a little bit. Amen. So, in looking at that and talking at that, need a good dose of happiness. Is that song? I'm going to find that song. That is the preppiest, little punkiest, little funkiest. I don't know. I might even not like Southern Gospel, isn't that song? Not quiet, but not that much. But nevertheless, so in talking to Brother Shuck today, dealing with camp, and he just made a comment. And I already had my title. I already had my, it was early when he called me, matter of fact, and already had my highlighter going and my post-it notes going and my notepads going. And I had just written down about involvement and about choosing involvement. There's choosing areas of involvement. And so when I did, Brother Chuck just made the comment before I ever said anything. He said, you know, Pastor, it's all about choosing and I can't remember the entire statement, but he talked about choosing, you know, to participate into to priorities and involving, and it was woman, you know, me, I go by confirmation. I like confirmation. And my wife said to me, honey, I've seen something in this. She had her book, the study, matter of fact, the book she gave Brother David Kenny the other night. And they're going to be teaching this next, I guess the next whatever, session. And she said, well, honey, there is something I want you to read in here. I really like this. And when I seen this, and when she did, it was choosing areas of involvement. And it just like, boom, like a bass drum, son. It just resonated with me. And I said, my God, that is where we are right now. That is where we are. We have so much going on. Many members making up one body. But every single, praise the Lord, brother man, I'm glad you can make it to the house of God tonight. I sure love you with everything in me. Wipe the crumbs off right there. They'll catch up on your collar. It'll be okay. And we're just keeping that seat warm just for you. Love you, man. Isn't it fun to say to him, I love you, man, brother man? I love that. Nevertheless, choosing areas of involvement. If you have your book, Life's Choices, you can follow me. Not literally, honey, I was joking. But you have it for real. That would be awesome. Don't look. I mean, Caleb, you got yours too. All right. Don't look at chapter 4 then. Actually, you can. You can follow it. I'm going to be adding some things to it. But I had heard a story, and always a story fascinated me. And it starts out, the very first part of this chapter starts out with that very same story. So I thought, okay, God, I get it. So we're gonna just kind of vary just a little bit and go in that area. Because really, you know me, it's all about attitude, mentality, mindset. I say it over and over and over and over again. Because if you say you can, you can. But when you say I can't, you usually can't. Jordan said to me this week, today or yesterday, about I can't something. I said I can't. I can. Don't come up with no I can't stuff. I used to tell my kids, can't never could do nothing. You know, you sit there telling me I can't. I'm gonna lose. I can't do this. You already lost before you ever even got started. I mean, you have been defeated in your mind. You have already accepted defeat. I just refuse to accept defeat. I'm going to keep on chug-a-lugging, baby. I'm going to keep on fighting, keep on pushing. Amen. So there's so many areas. There's nothing wrong, as I said last week, bettering yourself, improving yourself. Just don't let it sidetrack you. Don't let it make you miss things like camp and church and all those things. Always keep your priorities right. I didn't want to get off of that before I kind of wrapped it up and put a bow on it. Just remember, you put God first in everything. He'll supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. Last time I checked, there's no limit. There's no number there. And so we need to put God first. Our priorities have to be right. Amen. So, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to do my best now in reading this scripture. It's really, I'm just using this as a launching pad. I'm going to use this one scripture as a launching pad. And then just go right off into it, branch off into it. But I'm going to be talking about for the next little bit areas of involvement or choosing areas of involvement. It is about a choice. That is one thing that is awesome. We have the opportunity. We have choice. We can choose. I cannot make you do anything. I cannot force you to do anything. You got 2 feet. You vote by walking. You just say, I'm out of here. And you get up and walk out. You must realize that you have your soul. You're playing with your soul when you do that. If you're playing with fire when you do that, get mad and storm off. You're just signing a death certificate spiritually to your family, to your soul, when you walk out of here in a situation like that. And so it's always better. Never make a decision. They told me never make a major decision when you're emotional, when you're upset, when you're mad. Let it calm down. Just let things just settle down a little bit. Take a deep breath. Back off of it a little bit. And so, anyway, let me stay with my choosing areas of involvement. because I'm going to try to be within a certain time limit, but yet give you a word that you basically, amen, I may not get to finish, but you'll catch where I'm going. We'll wrap it up and hopefully get it done this evening. So we kind of varied a little bit from Jewish Mother's Light. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. You don't even have to stand if you don't like. I'm going to have a lot of scriptures. I may get some to help me read, but we just remain seated for now. Just don't go to sleep on me. This is a cordless mic, so I can't throw it at you. And I can say it slipped. Ooh, it slipped. But nobody can force you to do anything. You can walk out of here if you wanted. I could beg you. I could cry. I could pray. But outside of padlocking that door, there's really not a whole lot we can do legally. And so it is all about choice. And that is one of the greatest things. We have the ability to choose. We know what is right and wrong. Bad and thumbs, that's what makes us what we are. Thank God for thumbs, and thank God for knowing right and wrong and being able to choose. And so, really, it all boils down to choosing and choices, whether you choose to live for God, choose to serve God, choose to worship. Amen. And so what I want to focus on tonight is not so much about the choosing. It is all about choice. And I'm not going to focus on so much choice, but I want to focus on involvement. Or in other words, choosing areas of involvement. And I want to kind of focus on the latter part of that. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21, why don't we all just read it together? If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Say it again. Prepared unto every good work. Amen. Last service, Sunday, was a tremendous service, tremendous move of God. But I remember praying for different ones, and it's kind of what kicked it off. And then it was already a thread starting the weekend, and then dealing with the camp issue and some other things we had to take care of. The thread of involvement, but the Bible says a vessel meet for the master's use. It goes on in previous scriptures. It talks about vessels of wood and vessels of clay and vessels of silver and vessels of gold. But then it goes on to say it shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Amen. The murder of Kitty Genovese in New York epitomizes the tragedy of a let someone else do it mindset. This is a story that I heard as a young man of a young lady named Kitty. And some 40-something, roughly 40 neighbors, they watched. They sit there and watch on the sidewalks, in their driveways, in their vehicles, leaning out their windows. They watched as this young lady was brutally murdered. She was brutalized and violated and horrifically murdered for over 30 minutes. All the while screaming out for help, begging for mercy, begging, would someone please help me? And over 40 people watched and stood by and never lifted a hand. Never done anything to help her or to rescue her. And when the detectives and investigators, they came by and when they went door to door and they went to canvassing the area, what they found was not so much their unconcern. It was not the fact that they were so, because you heard the story and you heard stories of how desensitized, and perhaps it was some, They were desensitized, or they were calloused, or they were whatever the case may be. But when they concluded their investigation, the news tells us, or the investigation, the investigators tells us, the grisly truth was that everyone thought someone else would intervene. But tragically, no one did. Everybody thought somebody else would step in. But no one did. And everybody watched as a young lady was brutally victimized and murdered. That's not saying that this tragedy is an isolated incident, but it is evident in looking at society and looking at the world that we live in and how far the world is getting from God that it's, I don't want to get involved. People stand back. They don't want to get involved. I don't want, and they will go by. I had that accident on the interstate. And that's when I had blood pouring out of my mouth, and that's when all this side, these ribs here were laid out on the breastbone. I had literally broke all these ribs in here. Some of you remember, Mom and Dad went to Brazil. They were going to Brazil. I hit a car doing 74 miles an hour, no seatbelt, and I hit the steering column. And my name in the ambulance, I was alert enough to remember them saying, no restraint. They did not have a name or any identification, but I was no restraint. And that was the title. When they come in, they said, which one is this? And they said, no restraint. And without a seatbelt, we hit so hard that the boy sitting next to me in the vehicle, he had a seatbelt, and the seatbelt broke his chest bone in half. The impact broke his sternum in two. And at 74 miles an hour, the cruise control was on a van that was on the side of the road, pulled to try to get between me and the overpass. He said he was doing approximately 5 miles an hour, and I hit him, rear-ended him. I tried, when I seen him at the last moment, I tried to cut between him and a dump truck behind me. I did not make it, and I hit bumper, front bumper to back bumper, and catapulted him forward, and we went into a spin, and when it did, the steering column hit my chest bone, and these ribs, it dislocated them rather than broke them, dislocated them. I guess there's cartilage there. And it popped them things out. I learned that you could do that. It popped them out, and it dislocated them, however they want to word it medically. It popped them out of their little sockets there, their little cartilage, and laid them up on that. And very, 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 very painful. A sneeze, a cough. Get up, pull those muscles. It bruised, severely bruised the lining of the chest wall. And so there was contusions and bleeding in on the chest wall inside. And I laid there, and my wife found me. My wife came by. There was three people that stopped. They were riding together, and that was Sister Darlene Roden, Sister Keela McGauley, and Sister Johnson. They pulled around my body to get by. They did not want to be stopped in traffic. And the smoke falling everywhere, and gasoline running out of my vehicle, or out of the van, rather, running down under the hill because we hit him in the rear end and hit the gas come out of the back of that old Ford Econoline van and run down that hill. And when it did, we were laying in gasoline, and I got up from where I was at. Smoke was everywhere, and the boy was, he was wailing like a dog inside that car, and it was full of smoke. And I crawled back to the car. I got the door open. I crawled across the seat. I cut him loose from the seatbelt. He was curled in a fetal position, and I drug him backwards out of that car and onto the side of the road and up the side of the hill. And we laid there against the, the guardrail. We laid there against the guardrail, and that's where we were laid. One man stopped and had a cell phone. That's back when cell phones were as big as microwaves. And Sister Johnson got that, I guess it was a car phone back then. It wasn't even cell phones back then. It was car phone. No one had cell phones. They had a car phone, and they called help. And he said, "Do you know them?" And she said, "Yes, that's my husband." He said, "So you got him, right?" She said, "Yes." He never even stopped, never even stayed to help. All he did, because we didn't have a cell phone, all he did was let her use the car phone, and bam, back in the car, he went and left. There they stood. And then the ambulance came. They were the only ones that stopped outside of the ambulance. And they came, the ambulance got us and took us in, but nobody wanted to get involved. Someone aptly observed that when a nation becomes apathetic, its very foundations begin to crumble. In fact, it was William Schlamm that was quoted in the American Opinion as saying that the epitaph of our society should read, "This civilization died because it did not want to be bothered." We're not careful. Men, we are not diligent. That same attitude creeps into the church. I'll let somebody else do it. I don't want to get involved. I'll let somebody else stay and lock up. I don't want to get involved. I'll let somebody else, and I could go on and on, do Saturday door knocking or get involved with outreach. I'll let somebody else clean. I'll let somebody else do it. And we take on this attitude of uninvolvement. If we are not careful, the church will become infected with apathy. Amen. The definition of the word apathy is dispassion, lack of feeling or emotion, insensibility, unfeelingness, numbness, coolness, coldness, lethargy, listlessness, dullness, sluggishness, lifelessness, spiritlessness, indifference, and unconcern. I almost put my own self to sleep reading the definition of apathy. Just don't care. Just let somebody else do it. I'm too busy. I got too much going on. My plate's full. Let somebody else. Brother Shuffle do it. Sorry, I had to throw that last part in there. He asked me to say that. No, he didn't. He did nothing. I'm pleading Sister Shuffle. Amen. Apathy. In a world that is seemingly consumed by "I don't want to get involved," if we are not careful, it will not be long until it creeps into the church. What is dangerous is if it creeps into a generation. Because then the generation of the men that do the work, and the men that are here at the work parties, and the men that do the painting, the men that stay in clean, that set up, that do all these things, and then it creeps into a generation. That is dangerous, because if it skips a generation, what happens to the church? Did the older generation just keep on working until they work themselves to death, till they just get burnt out? And then somewhere a generation misses it. So we have to be careful that with every generation there needs to be a Daniel. There needs to be a three Hebrew children. There needs to be an Esther. There needs to be somebody that says, I'll take it. I'll carry the light. I'll pass the baton. I'll step in and I will be involved. I'm not going to just, as the Bible says, he needed a man to look for a man to step in the gap, but he could not find one. Amen. I want to reverse that. I want to step up there and say, "God, are you looking for me? God, I'm waiting on you. I'm ready when you are. Amen. I'm ready to be involved. I'm ready, amen, to do a work." And so we have to be careful. We have to be careful. I wanted to, and I just thought of it. I wish I had taken the time to pray. But I know that we had pre-service prayer, and I know that you're already praying, and I somehow want God to somehow, I want you to identify somewhere in here. I want you to identify with what I am teaching and preaching tonight. I want you to accept it. I want you to apply it. I want you to feast upon the Word. All I'm doing basically is just feeding you right out of the book. I'm feeding you the Word. Amen. But I want you to somehow get a hold of this. Don't just say, "No, I don't want that. No, I don't like that. No, do away with this. No, that." Then already that spirit of apathy, that uninvolvement, that just don't care, let somebody else carry it, let somebody else get it, that already is affecting you. And if you see yourself, then realize, hey, he might be preaching to me. And so with every pew, with every row, with every chair, with every generation, with every young person, from the youngest to the oldest, hear the words of this preacher this evening. Hear me when I'm telling you, there is a need for involvement. You look in the Scripture at the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, I'm going to start reading at verse 17. There is a need for involvement. I looked up the word involvement, and it means commitment, responsibility, engagement, concernment. See, there's always a contrast. With every Jacob, there's an Esau. With every Abraham, there's a Lot. And there's always a contrast. With every Ruth, there's an Orpha. And so we could go on down the row, and there's always, always a contrast. And so you have apathy, but yet you have involvement. Involvement means commitment, responsibility, engagement, concernment, dedication, interest, association, and connection. Amen. Everybody say, "I want to be involved." Amen. God, use me. Amen. You've got to look in 1 Samuel chapter 17. The Bible says at verse 17, "And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand. And look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him." Isn't it amazing? He was already out there working. He was already out there involved. He was already out there working. And more was asked of him. Why didn't he pick somebody just standing around doing nothing? Why didn't he pick? He's not looking for the guys that are just doing nothing. He's looking for ones that are already involved, already plugged in, already taking this thing up and going with it. Amen. And so he comes along and he says to his son David, "Go take this cheese and this bread to your brothers." Your brothers. Amen. And in verse 20 it says, "And he came to the trench, and the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, going forth to the fight." Hold on a second. Verse 21, "For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran unto the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the army of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that has come up, surely to defy Israel? Is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Ever felt like that? What did I do wrong? I thought I was doing right. What in the world's going on? What have I done now? Obviously, he was used to getting in trouble and getting corrected. Well, it all felt like that. Said, what have I now done? Here's this last line. This is the part that I like. He simply said this. Is there not a call? I don't even have to go into the part about the battle and the stones. And I'm not going through the rest of the chapter and reading. I want to focus on that one line there that says, is there not a call? You got to realize that throughout this whole chapter, for 40 days, morning and evening, oh, Goliath, he stood up on the hillside and he taunted them. And he made fun of them. And yet no one. See, there was great consequences involved. There was either total destruction or total victory. There was a high cost on this battle. And nobody wanted to get involved. They didn't want to be the guy to mess up. They didn't want to be the guy that dropped it. And so no one done anything about it. Here comes David on the scene as soon as he heard Goliath. All of a sudden, David said, hey boys, what are we hiding for? What, this guy's mocking. But you got to understand this, that one part that says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Amen. Now, the latter part says, what the man soweth, that shall he also reap. Don't think you're going to make mockery of God. And the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. And old Goliath, he sat up there and he mocked and he bellered and he hollered at him, just kind of like the enemy does to us at times. He just stands off when we're in that valley of indecision. Sometimes we want to do it and we know what we need to do. And sometimes it ain't really the little devil that, you know, they're always indicating sometimes the little devil. Sometimes he's big. Now, I'm not giving him any credit or anything, but sometimes he bellers loud and he causes you not to move. I remember one time as a young man, I went to worship, and we had just a handful. We didn't have hardly anybody. And I went to worship, and when I went to step out, there was a man across the front of the church there, and he laughed and he started chuckling. And I knew he was laughing at me. I knew he was chuckling. As a young man, I was probably Jordan's age, but instead of getting behind me, and instead, he laughed when I stepped out and went to worship. It made me very self-conscious, and I didn't worship. I stopped worshiping. And for a long time, I didn't worship. And my mother asked me one time, why, you know, what is it and what's bothering you? And I told her what it was. But it just because, and nothing was even said. And a lot of times, the enemy doesn't really have to say a lot. He just has to remind you of your failures. Remind you of your past, or remind you of what happened last week, or remind you of, well, you should be a lot further along than you are by now. That was a big in my own walk with God, in thinking and looking at men that came up the same time I did. In my own mind, I felt that I should have been further along. Now, if I had, I wouldn't be where I am today. And I believe with everything in me, everything we've done, it led up to this. And it was right. It was in the will of God. But in my mind, the enemy tried to come up against me. Well, others younger than you are pastors. Look at you. You're still sitting under your dad. Oh, don't you think I didn't struggle with that? Because I knew, I really in my mind, I knew what I could do. And I knew that I could do what they were doing. And a lot of them, the carnal side of me said, I knew I could do it better. And then when they begin to fall or mess up, or when and I'm thinking, I told you so, God. No, I didn't say that. I wasn't that stupid. I thought it, but I didn't say it. But, and so, sometimes you are your own loudest critic. And sometimes the devil don't have to say anything because you say it and stop your own self. And I will tell you this, if you are older, or if you're overweight, or if you are in any way, shape, or form self-conscious at all, or if you're not a type A personality who has tons of confidence, whether it be real or false confidence, and you can just, I had to throw that part in there too, sometimes it's difficult for you to worship. Or if you're a lady, I get all that. And it's difficult for you to worship. And so the enemy uses whatever he can. And we do not get involved. And I'm trying to come from different angles. We choose to set back because of our age. Because we're younger and you don't want to step up and take it and go with it. Or because you're a youth, or because you're a young man, or because you have not succeeded so far as far in life, or at the fact that we have several siblings in here that are families and grown now, and Lord, we're all from the Kinney family, and then there's the Lowry family, and different, there's the Pinnell family, and well, I have not done what this one's done, or I'm not as far as what this one, and so I can't worship, or I'm just going to hold back and worship. Well, can't you? And so we choose not to be involved in worship. Or we choose not to be involved in a service. Or we choose not to be, and God intends for you, and you can be the catalyst in a service. You do understand that. God can be waiting on you to move, and you moving could be the spark that ignites. But because of uninvolvement, because of apathy, just going to let somebody else be. We miss a move of God that a healing could have come out of it, that Holy Ghost could have come out of it. If you would have just moved, how many has ever said, boy, if they sing that song one more time? Oh, one more time. And invariably they stop at the chorus before you're going to move. Uninvolvement. Camp will roll around. And because, and I'm going to get it. Very quickly, I'm going to get to it. I'm going to try to go very quickly. Because of one reason or another, and I'm going to get to some reasons in just a moment, camp will go by. And what God intended for you to receive, if you do not make yourself available, the greatest ability is availability. The greatest ability that you can have is availability. Just making yourself available to the task that is ahead of you, or just to a move of God, or to a service, or to a department. You may not know how. You may not be perfect. It does not matter, as long as you have a willingness, a teachable spirit, and make yourself available to God. Amen. Apathy, uninvolvement, it keeps us from stepping into the will of God, stepping into the anointing, stepping into that power that God has for us. And choose. Wonder how many ministries never happen because of that involvement. I wonder how many times we go home sick because of apathy. We just chose not. We chose to let somebody else do it. And they were waiting on you to do it. And they were waiting on you to do it. And they were waiting on you to do it. And nobody's done it. Therefore, God never got the opportunity to move. There is always a need for involvement. David said in verse 29, is there not a call? You know, you have to ask yourself the question, did David do it because he was a smart aleck? Because he was overconfident? Because he was show-off? Wanting his name in fame? Wanting his little 5 minutes? No, he was moved because of a need. because there was a cause. Is there not a cause? There are many, many, many different things we can get involved with. I've seen people in church get so involved with things going on in school or in the community that it cost them their soul because they got so involved in different areas. I've seen them get involved in that's one reason why, and that's why we have the right direction as far as community outreach, is we're not so involved in the community for the community's sake, but for outreach's sake. Everything we do for outreach in the community is involved and is surrounded by getting them here and getting us out there to them. The whole thing is centered. Our community involvement is just not because we want to get involved and save the dolphins or the right to life, and that's a good one, but, you know, save the whales, and we're not getting it. That's not our reason, but healing broken vessels, different things we're involved in the community as far as the way the whole thing is getting ourselves. I said in the beginning, I want people to get involved in politics in the city and law enforcement in the city and the business leadership in the city. And now we're on the city council, and now we're involved. We have the mayor coming to Caleb's graduation. We have the different things going on. We are involved. The mayor's been to speak. We've sat down at the banquet dinners with the different city leaders and officials. Why? Our whole point is to get our name out there. The whole thing is not just so that, you know, our little 5 minutes of fame in the city. Our little 5 minutes is getting it outside of these walls. Everything centered around involvement in our community from an outreach standpoint. Not about recognition, not about look at me type deal, but it is all about involvement in outreach in the community. Amen. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37, the Bible says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Amen. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Amen. Don't worry. I highlighted here at this one point, the master can always use another hand. We sit around looking for the cause of Christ oftentimes suffers for lack of laborers. Amen. But verse 9:37 says, the harvest is plenteous, but laborers are few. Amen. Christians who labor in the harvest field need not worry about a glutted field, for the master can always use another hand. Don't worry about somebody else is doing it. Don't let them keep you out of a blessing. Amen. God may want to use you in an area, and they can only do so much. And God may use them in an area. Get right up there beside them. Well, somebody else is already doing that. So what? Get right up there beside them, and you do it with them. God can always use another hand. Amen. So we find another point is there is a mandate for involvement. A mandate for involvement. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. Through verse 30, and for sake of time, I'm going to paraphrase that if I might, rather than read that. It is quite lengthy, and I am quickly running out of time. The Bible here talks about, it is the parable of a man who entrusted his goods to his servant before leaving on a journey into a far country. We all know the story about the man with the talents. Amen. Sums of money were given to three men according to what the master perceived to be their ability to administrate in his absence. To one he gave five, to another two, and to the third only one. After finalizing the arrangements for the safekeeping of his possession, the master departed with the expectation that the servants would invest his money and bring him gain. The master had left it up to the servants to choose the best investments for his money. In time, the man who had received the five talents doubled his master's money. The man with two talents did likewise and ended up with four. The third man, on the other hand, dug a hole in the earth and hid his one talent. With any type of investing, we were going through the casinos, and you had to get to the restaurants, you had to go through the casino. You had to go, there was no way, like on a cruise ship, you can actually go to the floor above it and go past it and then come down to it. It's not that case. It's not that way there. To get to the restaurants, you have to go through it or around it or bypass it. And I said to one of the men, he said, are you paying? I said, no, I like my money too much. I'm not giving it away. He said, and it was one of the workers, and he came actually to the room to get our stuff. And he said, well, you do know that it's rigged. And I said, well, I kind of figured it was. He said, well, I'm like you. I work here, but I'm not gambling my money away. And I said, why is that? He said, because it is set. He said, you spend $200, it will give you back $150. But you have the sense that you are winning. But it always stays ahead. The game is rigged so that it always stays ahead. You pay $100, it gives you back $50. So that you're always winning. So it just keeps you with the tease of that you are winning. It keeps you winning just enough to keep you playing, to keep you hooked. But it is rigged that it always stays ahead. As with everything and every investment, always, and I wrote down ROI, return on investment. Every type of investment, whether it be where you're doing it in quantity, a little bit at a time, or in vast numbers, however it may, one big landfall, however it may be, it is all about return on investment. I mean, God expects a return on the talents that He has distributed. Amen. Like the three servants, we too will have to give an account to the Master, an account of ourselves and our investments. Right here came to mind the scripture, too much is given, much is required. And God's given some of us a whole lot. Amen. And He doesn't ask a whole lot of us in return. Amen. But God has given us talents. And so God expects a return on what He has given us. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all of these things will be added. All right, so very quickly, reasons for uninvolvement. Reasons for uninvolvement or reasons for lack of involvement. I hope some of you, I see some of you are writing it down. Good. Hopefully some of you are keeping notes. Number one, fear. Amen. Fear. Fear keeps many people from getting involved in the work of the Lord. As I told you the other day up here, it used to bother me. It used to worry me, man. I didn't want to get up and do it. And I don't know why, but my grandfather was that way. My grandfather, terrible, terrible lack of confidence. He would not get up. Now, I just grab it and go. It doesn't matter to me. 5 or 5,000, it doesn't make a hill of beans to me. And when the anointing's on there, it don't care if you can preach with me or not. When it gets going, it doesn't care if it's an angry mob or a hostile crowd. It wouldn't make any difference, man. When the anointing's there and you got it, you go with it. You know, or when you know you're in the right. And like a situation like this, I figured that I knew that tonight would be a little bit slower. And it did not. It would not matter to me if it was perhaps distracted or it did not. Would not matter because I know without a shadow of a doubt. You know when God laid something on your heart and He confirmed it and you know that it's right. Because hey, a lot of times you think that, boy, I'm tell you what, and they come back and say, Pastor, that was greatest, and I ain't never, you don't believe how that helped me, Pastor. And Bishop called the other day and he said that he had preached somewhere, spoke somewhere, and he said he felt like it was the worst he'd ever done. And he just felt so rusty, you know, he just could not believe how bad it was. He said, son, that's the best I'd ever done. He said, boy, you need to preach like that more often. He said, no, I don't either. I don't preach again, period, you know. He's like, I cannot believe it. But when God speaks to you, sometimes you know when it resonates. And you know when it's right and you know when there's a need. And you may not know who it's going to, but as long as if it just touches one, that's all that really matters. And if put it this way, when it gets like that, it don't matter if it don't touch nobody. If I did my part and you didn't catch yours, well, God bless you, honey, I'll catch you Sunday. Now, there used to have been a day that would have just pulled me in. Danny Kay, I'd have went home so upset and just tore all up. When I leave here, I'm going to eat me something. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Reasons for lack of involvement. Fear. Fear keeps many people from getting involved. Man, it literally magnifies and destroys of confidence. Men, it magnifies difficulties, rather, and destroys confidence. Fear of failure, fear of what others may say or think, just like in worship. I stopped because of what I thought he might be thinking because he was chuckling at me. He's gone, lost his soul, backslid, been backslid for years. But just his, just the timing of it, just the enemy, it stopped me. Man, it stopped me from moving. And it caused me for a long time, it caused me to hesitate in my worship. And so fear paralyzes capable people. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, in verse 32, and David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Philippians 4 and 13 says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." When it comes to outreach, I wish that God would give us the courage of David. When it comes to soul winning, I wish God would give our young people the courage of David. Let no man's heart, amen, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this old Philistine. He knew no matter win, lose, or draw, it didn't make any difference. He knew that he was going to go fight. Amen. And what happens is we don't ask for Bible studies. We don't knock on doors because we're afraid nobody will answer it or they'll shut it in our face or they might say no. And so we hesitate because of fear. Number two, laziness. Amen. Laziness. Everybody say laziness. A lazy man is just a dead one who we can't legally bury. Lazy man is just a dead man that cannot be legally buried. Amen. The wise man offered excellent advice to the lazy person. He said in Proverbs 6 and 6, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise." Amen. A lazy man contributes little to the cause of Christ. We do not get involved in the cause. We are lazy. Next, inferiority. Inferiority. The greatest ability is availability. Someone said one time, "I don't have anything to offer." I heard Brother Lowry say, and he says it, one of his favorite sayings is, "God does not call the equipped. He equips the called." And that is so true. And he says it often. God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. For a long time, I thought that there was something wrong with me. I just thought because, I tried to be. And Bishop is not a, Bishop's just not an easygoing person. He might be stuff more so now. He's real laid back now. He called me today and asked, "Would I go down and water his plants?" And I told him no. And he said, "I really wish you would." And I said, "Well, I'm not." He goes, "They could use it." And I said, "Well, they drowned because it rained the last 2 days out here." He goes, "Oh, okay." And he thought I was telling him no for real. He didn't argue, didn't say anything. He said, "Well, they could really use it. I really wish you would." And I'm like, okay. Lay upon my sympathy. No guilt trip, you know. Mom was probably telling him what to say in the background. "Don't get mad, Dad. Don't get mad." But the point is this. Inferiority. You work behind someone that is like Bishop and that can do about anything. And it's not that we can't. We was just never given the opportunity. 70 people, and only one got to use the hammer. Because the rest of you had to get up and move. If you want to do it right, you got to do it yourself. Okay? That's just his temperament, personality, and nature. But that is his way. Well, that's not good for the other 69 of us. You know, especially if you're a guy like me that is polar opposite of my father. I am not, I have a lot of qualities that are like him. And I know a lot of times they'll say, "Oh my God, you did like this." Or I can get, "Oh, I can hear Bishop in you." Yeah, but then I quickly change. No, I'm teasing. And a lot of times I'm not, because he is one personality and I'm another. He's type A, and I've got to be about type B, if there be one. He is, I guess, a green, I guess, or an orange, a gold. He's a gold green. I am a flaming blue, honey. That's not flaming. That didn't even sound good together, did it? Let's take that one back. Scratch that one. Dub the tape. Just a gentle blue. Ballistic blue. Blood slaughter. I'm blue. I am just, okay, fine. We'll work around it. Whatever I do. But then you get to that point and it's like, and that's the bad kind of blue. And they tell you, blue and green does not go along, get along. My father was one and I married the other. And they said, on my part, honey, not on your part, on my part. That's why it worked well for Mom and Bishop, because one was the other. For Sister John tonight, she's one way, I'm the other. We'll catch both of you, one way or the other. We don't get you. Come and go, and we got you. But the point is, it's inferiority. And you don't feel in the department, you may not feel that you can do it, say it, or be, and so it causes you to hesitate. You may not do everything as good as them, or like they want you to do it, or I may let them down. Some people feel like they're going to let you down. They didn't do anything. I always felt that. They feel like I won't do it good enough. I'm going to let you down. They don't do anything at all. Or they think the worst, and you try, and someone this weekend, it was so humorous. We tried to help someone out, and literally thinking from a positive standpoint, they were absolutely crushed and defeated and just absolutely upturned their hat, and all we were doing was looking out for them, and they thought they'd done something wrong because they were being replaced. I said, sweet Lamb of God, you didn't take credit in that such a shock. Did I say that out loud? I was just thinking that. I didn't mean to say that. Inferiority. Inferiority is a reason for lack of involvement. Amen. We should remember that God is not looking for prima donnas, but for servants. People who are willing to do whatever the Master gives. I like that. God is not looking for a prima donna, whatever that is, but for servants and people who are willing to do whatever the Master gives. In Ecclesiastes 9 and 10, the Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And it goes on to say, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither you goest, whither thou goest. Anything, a thing you can do where you're going. So whatever you do, do it with all your might. Do it with everything in you. Work with everything in you. And wherever it is, God placed you. Bloom where you're planted. Bloom where you're planted. Another reason for lack of involvement. Selfishness. I'm going very quickly now. It is 9:02. Almost done here. Selfishness. What's in it for me attitude? What's in it for me attitude? Amen. Some folks ask that question before committing themselves to a task. There are times, however, when the work of God demands precedence over our personal desires and plans. In fact, we might need to juggle our schedules or cancel our plans for a worthy cause. Amen. In Philippians 2 and 4, the Bible says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Amen. This is an excellent, if you have it, in your personal devotion, some of you might get some of these books like this. How many, I know in the last little bit I've given several of you some of these books. Matter of fact, I've given out a lot of my personal ones. I've given one out this weekend, one of my personal ones, and I need to get some of them back if you're done with them. Especially some of you have given books through the last little bit. Life choices, some of these. How many are doing these presently or have done these in the past? And some young people I know are doing. You need these. Excellent. I was very glad when Sister Johnson pointed this out because I realized this lesson, so many other lessons, but this lesson is right where we are. We just need to get involved. We just need to get involved. We would get involved in the Sunday school department if Pastor ever let you teach them. We did last Sunday, and I've heard nothing but good reports. It got a little hot. I've got the AC situation taken care of. But this Sunday, we've got it all planned. The Lord will it. I'll have you class 2 weeks in a row. Everybody said amen. Do my best. We're going to run right through here, get them back in their class, just so they can have Sunday school. Amen. Look not on every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Going very quickly. Here we go. Pride. Ooh, everybody say pride. I hate that one. Some folks refuse to get involved unless they are in the limelight. They crave recognition and applause. I was the exact opposite, brother. I never had a problem with that. They crave recognition or the applause. They need to be recognized. They need to be in the limelight. Behind-the-scenes tasks do not appeal to them. Amen. However, you need to heed the warning. In Ephesians 6, I did not, if I've read this verse, I did not really remember it was there. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Not with eye service as men pleasing, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart because you want to, because you love it. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Always said, very center of pride is what? I. There was no pride, there was no I in King. Those are little things to remember that is so true. I cannot stand that I and me mentality. We started this thing off on the platform of, if you want to do this, you had a platform of change. Well, mine was teamwork. Mine was unity. Our starting point was we are in this thing together. All of us are in this thing together. Going very quickly, the last couple of things, busyness. Busyness. Amen. Just busy. Just too busy. Got so many things going on, we don't have time for the things of God. Just skipping right down. No vision. This is personally. This is one that I have, that means a lot to me. I've preached this because I believe that we have to have a vision. We have to have a vision. Somebody says, I can't find anything to do. I can't find anything to do. There's nothing for me to do. I don't fit in. I can't see where I belong. Amen. Actually, there will never be a shortage of things to do in the kingdom of God. I love this verse because I never looked at it this way. I never looked at this verse, John 4:35. John 4:35, the Bible says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look. Would you stop right there? Just lift up your eyes and look. There are things to do all over the church. And people go, ain't nothing for me to do. I don't see where I fit in. I can't find anything to do. The Bible says simply this. Lift up your eyes and look. Look on the field, for they are white already for harvest. Amen. Proverbs 29:18 said, where there is no vision, the people perish. Amen. If you want to know what you can do, just lift up your eyes and look. Turn to somebody and tell them, open your eyes. Literally, you can tell Brother Man, open your eyes. No. He was not asleep. Just Sister Man wasn't. Trying to reverse psychology there. I better be careful. I won't get no more lemon brain time. Amen. Apathy. Apathy. Reason for lack of involvement. Amen. One of the most destructive reasons for lack of involvement is apathy. It reveals an I don't care attitude. That's even worse than somebody else do it. It's just, I just don't care. I just don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care enough about it to even want to do anything. I don't care if it dies. I don't care if it falls. I don't care if it just falls flat. An I don't care attitude is revealed by apathy. Unfortunately, apathy tends to rub off on others. Amen. Therefore, we must not allow indifference of others to influence us. We should determine to do something for the cause of Christ, even if we have to do it alone, even if you are the only guy standing in the gap. Amen. Then stand. When you've done everything else you can to do, then stand. I'm going to try to wrap up in 5 minutes. Amen. Principles for choosing involvement. Amen. Principles. I'm just going to read them very quickly to you because I want to bring this to a close. Principles for choosing involvement. Number one, recognizing that God has a specific role for each person to fulfill. God has a specific, not specific, role for each of us to fulfill. Amen. Number two, cultivate. I don't have time to flesh them out. I don't have time to read into each one of these. I can give you a copy. You can find it in lesson 4. But I would love it if you had the initiative to become involved and to catch that little subliminal message there. To get the book, to get the notes here, and to go and read it for yourself. Probably learn it better if you do that. Dig it out for yourself. Number two, cultivate a desire to find that special place in the body. I can't stand it when they tell me I don't fit in. I don't have a place. That is an excuse from the pits of hell. You got a place. You ain't looking for a place. I don't fit in. I don't have a place. There ain't nothing for me to do. Open your eyes. Get involved. Amen. Number three, take inventory of your abilities. Romans 12, verse 6 through 8. I did not even realize that this was there, and I've skipped several scriptures for sake of time here. Here we go. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. For ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Ministering. For he that teacheth, on teaching. For he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. For he that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Amen. The verse before that said, back up to verse 3, said, we are many members making up one body. Each one of these members have a different function. Understand that, and everybody was not designed to do, that the hand was not designed to do what the eye was designed to do. We are many members making up one body naturally, but each one has a separate function. You are many members making up one body. Each one of you have a separate function. Verse 6 there says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. In other words, God has given you something to do. You individually. God has given you according to the grace that is given to us. Whether it be prophecy or faith or ministry or teaching or exhorting or giving or just showing mercy or cheerfulness. He said He's given every one of you, do it with everything in you. He's given all of you something else. God didn't want a mini bishop. And He told me that one time years ago. He said, the people don't want a mini-me. He said, they probably, and I'm not saying it now, I'm just telling you literally what He told me ways back. He said, they don't want a mini-me. Because we heard someone that sounded just like their pastor. I mean, praise the Lord. I mean, you close your eyes, you thought it was, and anyway, you literally thought it was. Great. Hey, good to see you, brother. Glad you can make it. I'm fixing to start preaching now. You go ahead and sit down and get your Bible. We start. Amen. God bless Brother Lowry. And so, see, he did. He said, they don't want a mini-me. They've had enough of me. They're ready for something else. He said, so don't be a mini-me. Be you. Well, then the only way I can see to do it is that God gave me certain things. He gave Sister Johnson certain things. He didn't expect her to carry on and be Mom Johnson 2.0. But it was time for change. It was time for a transition. So we can sit back and say, well, I don't want to get involved because it ain't like it always has been before. I don't know. No. This, you got to understand, this was the plan and the will of God. God give each and every one of us something for us to do. And if you want revival, and if you want to see the blessings of the Lord, then get in here with us. And let's get it done together. Amen. Matthew 9:38, the Bible says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers unto his harvest. Everybody say, choosing involvement. Amen. The next one, going very, very quickly, dedicating your abilities to God. Amen. I'm not going to read the scriptures there. Develop and improve those abilities. Ah, Lord Jesus. Consecrate yourself. I am skipping whole chapters, literally page upon page. Amen. Now, one thing is, in closing, this message is going to have a lot of doors. In closing, actually, I'm going very quickly. Amen. Amen. I'm just literally dissecting this thing. Hope you even, I think you get the message. Stand up. Give me hope, for God's sake. I picked the longest lesson in the Bible to teach. And I didn't want to make a series out of it. Everybody I've talked to, Pastor Hamby told me today, he said, I love Bible studies and series. Brother Thrasher's favorite thing is series. Well, I can do a series in one service. Man, I got that. Very quickly. Look for things to do. I've already covered that. Look for things to do. And you know what? One thing I wanted to cover, Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. We're not going to read it. You don't have to go there. Acts chapter 6, 1 through 7. He said, man, we are overwhelmed. He said, go find 7 men. He said, well, we got to feed the widows here and take care of these. What are we going to do? He said, go find 7 men. He said, go find 7 men. Get them involved. Go find 7 Holy Ghost-filled men that love God and get them involved. They went and got 7 men out of the church. Do you know that of those 7 men, one was Stephen, the first fiery preacher and the first martyr, and the other was Philip, the fiery evangelist, who was a magnificent soul winner. And they were men right off the pew that just wanted to get involved. And they said, just give me something to do. The one reason we're going here is because William has asked me every week, Pastor, please give me something to do. I want to be involved. Put me somewhere. I talked to Brother Shuff and Brother Birmingham this week. Find him in outreach. Find him in involvement. Find him at camp. We want something. Why? Because if we wait too long, all of that excitement will die off. All of that new convert enthusiasm and zeal will die off. All of that just got the Holy Ghost, can't wait to win the world. Energy will just slowly dissipate. And then pretty soon he'll be like the rest of us, just sitting on a pew doing nothing. I told you to find somewhere to relate. Why? Hope that wasn't it. I hope you did not just relate to that one. Amen. Stephen and Philip, they were just one of the first 7 that said, go find somebody and help with these widows. Not a whole lot. Was not much. That's not a big flashy title. Go feed the widows. There's not much involved. But the ones that were doing all of this were so overwhelmed, they had to have some help. And that's what happens sometimes in departments. You get so overwhelmed when just one guy stepping up saying, here, let me take some of that from you. Let me help you. Sure would make the world go a lot easier. Sure would take a load. That's why I said if we all just pick up our piece of the pie together, if we all just hold it together, this thing will go. I keep using pie, so there's no message at the man. I keep saying pie, she'll get it. Amen. Areas of involvement. In closing, when you say, I spoke of the talents a while ago, the 5, the 2, and the 1. And the one said, you know what, I know how hard you are and how bad you are. I just buried mine. What an excuse. Come on, you can do better than that one. You know, and he is. But the other guy said, I'll take these 5 and I'm going to go do something with it. I'll take these 2 and I'm going to do something with it. And God used them. God blessed them. God doubled them and multiplied them. When you say talents, first thing people think is what? Use your talent. A music. Everybody thinks music. Everybody, when you say, When you say, you know, to each is given a talent, they think, I'm going to play the horn. Well, I'm singing. And I tell you, there are 10,000 more talents in the Bible than just singing soprano and the three-man group. You know what I'm saying? It more than just playing an instrument or just singing. There are so many, just to name a few. We have outreach. Everybody say outreach.
Outreach.
Say it again, outreach.
Outreach.
Soul winning.
Soul winning.
Children's ministries. That boy got a little bit quieter there, didn't it? Children's ministries. I look over and do it in sign language. Children, baby. That's all I can think of. Give me credit, you know. I'm not a sign languager. Whatever. Youth ministries, ladies ministries, journalism, art. Everybody say it together. Maintenance. Say it again. Maintenance. Lamb of God. Not even that could be together. Maintenance. We need people to take out the trash. People to lock up. People to turn. I come in today, it was 68 degrees. Because nobody turned off the air because everybody thought somebody else was going to do it. Everybody say uninvolvement. 68 degrees. I guess it's been running since Monday. I did not come yesterday. Now I wish I had it because it was 68 degrees in here. It was cold enough. And the bad thing was is those doors were open. I walked in the hallways, which the school door, the old going in this one, was wide open. So it was sucking every bit of it out. They never shut off since Monday night. They never shut off. Because this door was open and that door was open. Which meant, and the fellowship hall side was off and the hallway side was off. Which meant because they left those doors open and those doors open and not going in there, it was just sucking every bit of this out. They were running wide open and it was still 68 degrees in here. That means the electricity bill will be through the roof because for 2 days it run nonstop. That's kind of like this winter they left the heat on in the gym. You know how hard it is to heat the gym. It run nonstop. Our gas tanks were empty. $2,800. $2,800. It ran nonstop, wide open. From Sunday to Sunday. No one went in it from Sunday to Sunday. And I hope to God we had church that once that Sunday. Because if it went sometimes without having Sunday school like we do, 4 or 5 weeks, that ain't no telling how long that thing run. Nevertheless, we could go on and on and on. Leadership, so many areas. So many areas. I think you get the message about choosing involvement. Find somewhere. The Bible says just look. Open your eyes. Find somewhere. Get involved. Get behind somebody. Blessings of involvement are this. First, an involved person develops a sense of personal satisfaction. Second, an involved person possesses a brighter outlook in life. Thirdly, an involved person becomes a better balanced person as he interacts with others. And lastly, and he learns to see things from another's point of view. And last, an involved person will reap eternal benefits. Amen. The very last thing today, ask yourself this question. What have you done for the sake of the kingdom this year? In the last 5 months, Sister Johnson and I have taken over as pastor and pastor's wife. What have you done? Personalize it. Apply it. What have you done for the sake of the kingdom this year? And how can you get more involved? How can I get more involved? What can I do? In what ways can you further prepare yourself for the kingdom involvement? What can I do to make myself a better child of God? What can I do to further prepare myself for kingdom involvement? How can I get involved? And what have I done? Amen. For the kingdom of God. I think there are a lot of areas that if we really search ourselves, there are a lot of areas that we can do that. We can do more. Whether it be outreach, whether it be Sunday school, youth, whether it be involvement we have now in the youth department and juniors and seniors and the preteens. Now they don't want to do anything or they'll go and just sit or we can't find anybody. Now some of them do. If I say this, that doesn't mean I'm speaking to you if you're doing something. You're having something going on. I'm proud of you. Be the example. I'm hoping everybody, I want you to have your homes involved. I want you to bring them to your home. Do things. but I'm talking about the areas, and you're smart. You know who and where you are. You know where you and I can do better. We know there's areas that our young people can do more. We know as men, we get older, so we want to step back and let the younger bucks carry it. You're not out to pasture just yet. Not time for, just because you get up a little few years, it ain't time to just stop. But it's time to get involved. The very last scripture, and I am done. I just want to bring this one thing in Exodus 36, 1-7. The Bible talks about the results of a unified involvement. Results of a unified involvement. This was these two places where you ask themselves the question and the result of unified involvement. I was hoping to get to them sooner so I didn't have to rush right through it. But in Exodus chapter 36, 1-7, the Bible talks about where he told them to go get them, and he got the leaders, and they're all bringing it. And in verse 5, it says, "And they spake unto Moses, saying, The people bring," and I'm just jumping to the last scripture. I'm not reading all of them. "The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, Let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much." In other words, they got so together. They were so unified in their involvement, in their giving, in their prayer, in their worship, that he said, tell them it's too much. Tell them they got to stop. Tell them to slow down on the giving and slow down on the work. We've run out of work. Everybody's working so hard. We've run out of things for you to do. And we've run out of places to put all the money that you're bringing and all these other areas. He said, you are so unified. You've got it so together. What tells me that if we can just get it together, unified involvement, there is a place that we're a long ways off from where he told him to quit bringing the money. We've got too much. Y'all don't dare stop there and say, Pastor said we quit. He said, no offering this week. No offering this week. Pastor said we had too much. We had to quit. No, that was Exodus. We ain't having another Exodus. Amen. Everybody say involvement. Amen. There is blessings that come with unified involvement. Everybody say, I'm going to get involved. Amen. Let's all pray. God of heaven, right now, we thank you for the word tonight. I ask you to seal it in us. I know at times it was lengthy tonight, but I ask you to seal this word in us. Help us tonight to get a hold of it, to become involved. I rebuke uninvolvement and apathy and lethargy and laziness and just don't care attitude, or it doesn't matter to me. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. God, we ask you to seal this in us tonight. Give us a spirit of involvement. Help us to become involved, to love it with everything in us, to take it up, to stand in the gap, to make up the hedge. Help us to do it in Jesus' name. Seal this word in us. Help us tonight as a people. In your precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. And God bless you. I don't think there are any announcements. Perhaps we'll just maybe one. Ladies, if you would like to purchase a dessert, please see Sister Kimberly. You need to pre-order tonight. Remember, banana pudding, chocolate eclair, sour cream pound cake, lemonade cake, lemon meringue pie, the pound cake. $25 each. I don't know of any other announcements. Thank you to all of our visitors. All of our visitors, thank you so much, Savannah. So glad you're here tonight. Amen. I don't have to say to Brother William, but Brother William, Brother Bundy, Brother Lyon, so glad you men could make it tonight. Zachary, so glad you're here. Amen. Miss Brenda, so glad you're here. Amen. And to Bryson, I've seen him once or twice, but there he is. Bryson, we are so glad you're here, buddy. Amen. We love it when Bryson gets to come. And Riff, man, good to see him. Boy, got so big. I just Ooh, I'm telling you, so glad all of them are here. Yes, sir. Yeah, thank you. Tomorrow night, CCs. Everybody say involvement. We're going to see if you heard me. You're going to see if we hear, if you heard, if you heard the preacher. Amen. CC's Pizza, 5 to 9. CC's Pizza, 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Church involvement. This is for a fundraiser for the young people. Fundraiser to put some money back in. Everybody, how many going to try to make it? From 5 to 9? Somewhere in there, try to order your pizza, go by and eat pizza in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.